I'm going to make a decree as a pastor. Can I do that? So our first Connection Sunday is next Sunday. Everybody say next Sunday. So instead of going to public market, we're going to go to Doyle Hollis Street Park, which is around the corner. And what we're going to do is we're going to stand together and support Brenda, right? Our very own Emeryville City Council candidate, right? So we're going to go support. This is her fundraiser, and we want to, as a house, we want to support her. And we could, there's barbecue, there's going to be food. So we're going to all go there and connect together and stand with Brenda. Can we do this? All right. So after service, we're going to Doyle Park, not public market, okay? Amen. Benjamin is in Japan. I think he preached his last sermon a couple of hours ago. He's probably sleeping right now. And the next morning, he'll wake up, rest a little bit, and then come back to us tomorrow night. Amen. Also, if you raise your hand if you were not at the Lineage Retreat. Okay, look into my eyes. You must listen to the sermons. I'm serious. Every session, every word that Pastor Sam spoke was Rhema word for this house. Personally and corporately, it set my heart free, right? It set me free. It set everybody free, right? So I want you guys to listen to it, okay? Say, okay. I always tell Aletheia, say, okay, mommy. So why don't you say, okay, pastor. You said it, so you better listen to it. All right. Everybody say, it's time to grow up. Look at your neighbor. I'm going to do Pastor Sam on you. Hey, good looking. Benjamin was sad because every time Pastor Sam told us to look at your neighbor and say, hey, good looking, he said, you keep looking at your other neighbor. Why don't you look at me? All right. Tell your neighbor, it's time to grow up. Okay. Listen. Your internal reality becomes external reality. Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, you get to give what you have. If I have $50 in my pocket and Larry Ann says, Pastor Sonny, I need money. I need $50. I have $50. I get to give what I have. But if I only have $50 and she says, I need $100, even if I want to give her, I don't have to give her $100. You know what I'm talking about? You could only give what you have. What you possess is what you can give. What is real in your inner world shapes your outer world. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to be like Benjamin. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me now. I want you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. You know, ever since our Tello boat ride I told you about last year, how we almost died, but we went to sleep, that one. Ever since then, I can't get out of this chapter. And I keep preaching on this, but I'm going to preach again. And I may preach again more. Who knows, right? Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. Okay, you there? On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace. Be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But, everybody say, but. He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's pray. God, I thank you that you know exactly what you are doing. God, sometimes some of us are going through some frustration where we feel stuck where we are at spiritually, even in our career, in our family, in our marriage. There are areas where we feel frustrated and we feel angry and we feel sad and we feel stuck. But even then, God, you know exactly what you are doing in our lives, Lord. God, there are some of us who are advancing, God, in our lives, but still we're advancing with anxiety and we don't know how to get rid of those anxieties. But even then, God, you see us and you know exactly what you are doing. God, there's some of us who've been believing for the one thing for years after year after year, and we've been believing and praying and standing, but we still haven't heard your answer. God, sometimes we feel forsaken. Sometimes we feel ignored. Sometimes we feel like something is wrong with us. But even then, you know exactly what you're doing in our lives. God, thank you that today, you're going to give us your perspective. Where we are at, you're going to give us your perspective so that we can see the way you see. We can feel the way you feel. And we could arise and advance just like our daddy God. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to receive. Holy Spirit, help us to be your sons and daughters that hear and obey your word. We thank you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen? Just like I started, you get to give what's in you. I want you to look at your hands. What do you have to give? What do you actually have? Not physically. Right now. But what do you have in your life to give? What's in you? Do you have money? Can you take somebody out to J. Crew and say, buy whatever you want? Okay, we're going to J. Crew. Joshua, no? Oh, okay, no. Whatever you have, you get to give. Do you have money to give? Do you have joy to give? When people come around you, do they walk away? Just don't know why, but they're just, you know, joyful and happy about life. And they're, do you have joy to give? Do you have peace to give? They come into your presence all anxious, but for some reason they walk away just trusting in God. What do you have to give? Do you have tension to give away? People are feeling fine and they come and hang out with you and they just walk away tensed up and just, I don't know why. Whatever is in you, you share it. Your inward reality always becomes your external reality. You know, lately, there are certain things that I don't understand. Okay, can I be real with you? You still gonna follow us as your pastors? Can I be real? And you still gonna love us? As your pastor, I don't know why we don't have our building by now. I don't know. We did everything we know how to. We fasted, we prayed, we believed, we decreed, we did everything we know how, and we still don't have a building. I don't know. I don't know. So what do we do when we don't know? And so I've been asking God, God, what are you doing? When you don't know, just ask him. Just ask him, right? So I've been asking God, what are you doing? God, and I laid out, because if you look at my journal book, I wrote down which year and which promises he gave me. 2012, 2013, 14, I wrote down all the promises that he has given me. God, I didn't ask you for this. You're the one who gave me these promises. Where are they, God? Why aren't they here? And what are you doing? You know what God showed me? You know what he showed me? He said, Sonny, on your behalf, I've been refraining myself. It's like, what? It's like, because I love you, Living Hope, because I love you and I'm a good daddy, I've been refraining myself. Huh. And then he gave me this revelation. See, I, Sunny, as a good parent, there comes a point where I have to tell Alethea, no, you have to wipe your own butt. Can you please wipe it this time? No, you can do it. Oh, but no, I had to teach her step by step. I won't go into detail. And I know she can do it. But mommy, no, you can do it. And then this was, you know, a few years ago. Now, you know what I have to refrain myself from? Giving her a bath. Are you going to take a bath with me? No, you're going to take your bath by yourself. Well, can you at least wash my hair, please? Alethea, you can do it. Wet your hair, put shampoo on it, rub it, put it underwater, put conditioner, step by step. Oh, I don't know how to do it. Yes, you do. You know how to do it. Sometimes as a good mom, as a good parent, I had to refrain myself from doing the things I've done for her in the past. Do I love her less? No. Did I lift my favor from her? No. Am I mad at her? No. Then why wouldn't I do the things for her now, what I used to do for her in the past? Because I love her. And it is my responsibility to teach her and to empower her to do certain things on her own. What if, just what if, Alethea turns 16 and I still had to wipe her butt and I still had to feed her and I still had to give her her bath? That's a problem. Sometimes as a good parent, I have to tell Alethea, it's time to grow up. Tell your neighbor, it's time to grow up. It's time to wipe your own. You see, at Living Hope, we are ready for the next season of maturity. We're so ready for this, guys. There are things that we must learn how to do on our own. This, look at me, this is not separation from God. This is not doing it on our own strength. You understand? This is growing up. This is maturing, okay? God, in his mercy, stops doing things for us so that we can learn to do it on our own. As a house, we've been in a waiting season for a long time. How to wait, still full of hope and believing. Waiting in the Lord for our building. Waiting in faith for our husband or wife, or to have children, waiting in faith for a career. We know as a house, we know how to wait. You know how to wait. If you've been here for a few years, you know how to wait. And I feel like God is saying, well done. Good job. But we waited and we learned that so well that even the things that we're supposed to get up and do, we're still seated on our nice, and we're just waiting. We're just waiting. And God is saying, get up. What did God say to Moses? Why are you crying about? Lift your hands. Lift your rod. And then what do you do? When Moses obeyed, it separated the Red Sea. Sometimes, when we learn how to wait, we don't. We learn how to just cry, oh God, it's so painful here. But There are things where God is saying, what are you crying about? Get up. Get up. Hmm? Now, are we supposed to go out and make it happen on our own? No. I thought about Ezekiel. What if when Ezekiel, when God told Ezekiel to prophesy into the dry bones, what if he took the matters into his own hand and tried to do it in the natural physical world? What if he tried to put bone to bone, try use the super glue, you know, and get some, you know, clothes and wrap it up and say, God, I obey. What are you doing? It's the wrong problem solving. You understand? So when God is saying, get up and wipe your own, he's not saying, go make it happen on your own physically in the natural world. You hear me? You have to take responsibility in the spiritual realm. So we're going to talk about this a little bit. Can we do that? So if you look at Mark chapter 4, verse 35, it's Jesus who said to them, let's cross over to the other side. Whose idea was it? It's Jesus' idea for you to grow up. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to walk in your kingdom authority. You don't have to cry and question his love or question your value because a door closed and somebody broke up with you, or you didn't get the promotion, or your pastor didn't call you when you were sick, or whatever. The storm that you are in, it is God's idea to take you there. You know why? You need the storms in your life for you to grow up. Hmm? Look at, and a great windstorm came. The waves beat into the boat and water was filling. That's pretty scary. Anybody been there? Anybody been physically on a boat and it was raining and the waves were higher than you and the water was coming inside of you and the engine was falling off, and you look all around, and there's no land? Anybody been there? What do you do? But you've been there situationally, spiritually. I'm kind of, as I was preparing to preach, I was kind of like really proud of myself and our Indonesia team last year because we were there. And that, we were able to ask God, what are you doing? And God says, sleep. The water was filling up. We just went to bed. And I think our team, I'm so proud of our team, that when they saw me sleep, instead of waking me up like these disciples did, Pastor Sonny, don't you care that we're going to die? What kind of leader are you going to sleep when we're about to die? Shouldn't you lead us into some powerful prayer and calm the storm? Right? They could have done that, but they didn't ask me a question. They just looked at me. Oh, well, if she's going to bed, maybe it's not a big deal. And so most of them, except for Daniel, went to sleep. But I'm glad Daniel was he wasn't asleep because he knew exactly what went. Like, because when I woke up, we were already, right? And so I'm like, what happened? And he was able to tell us we were stuck in the middle of ocean most of time, and only the last 30, 40 minutes, the engine worked. And the, you know, and that means God took us what would take 4 hours in 30, 40 minutes. That's supernatural. Like, I'm glad Daniel was awake to tell us that, right? So I'm really proud, okay? But you know what? The storms, we hate the storm. We get frustrated in the midst of the storm. We feel forsaken in the midst of the storm. God, why? How come, God? Why don't you move? God, do something. We get so frustrated. I thought I would be married by now. I am married. I'm talking on behalf of the single. I thought I would have at least 2 to 3 children. I thought I would have my master's degree by now. I thought I would be making full-time pay by now, right? You are You in the midst of the storm, you're frustrated, and the enemy attacks your minds. That's all you are. Just accept it. And it's like sometimes you want to just accept it and be okay with it, but that something deep inside, that greatness inside of you just won't let you just accept it, and it's heck of frustrating, right? The storm is for us. The God sends the storm to qualify you. You know, one of the things that I heard, I think it was Bill Johnson that said, that your personal victory qualifies you for public display. Your personal victory, when you're in the midst of the storm, do you question God and accept the lack and live there? Or do you arise in faith? Do you take spiritual responsibility? Do you grow up? We need the storms to grow up. And then what happens? Jesus is sleeping. Sometimes that's what we experience, don't we? We need God to move, but he's not doing anything. God, can't you see? My father is dying. He can't even recognize us anymore. Do something. Either take him with you or heal him. I don't want to see him this way. Sometimes, God, we need you to move, but you are nowhere to be found. What are you? Do something. Say something. And in the midst of all that, where is Jesus? He's sleeping. Is it because he doesn't care? Is it because he was so exhausted? All these people always wanting something from him? You know what I think? I think Jesus knew that disciples were old enough to silence, mature enough spiritually to silence the storm. That's why he was silent. When God is silent in the midst of your storm, you know what it means? It's not because he doesn't care. It's not because you have no faith. It's not because something is wrong with you. It's not because he lifted his favor from you. It's because he knows and believes that you and I are mature enough, we're old enough to wipe our own. We're old enough to give ourselves a bath. Here, and then what happens? Disciples, they're freaking out, right? They're afraid and they're questioning Jesus. Don't you care? God, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to die? And what did Jesus do? He just arose, rebuked the wind, silenced the storm, but he rebuked the disciples. Why are you so afraid? Look at your neighbor. Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? You guys, think about it. What is prayer? Come on, talk to me. What is prayer? What? Talking to God? Conversation with God? Prayer? What did Jesus say? Ask and you shall receive. That's exactly what Jesus taught, right? Prayer means you ask God and you shall receive. In the Bible, it says, so that your joy may be full, right? Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. You know, so we see prayer. Do you believe that prayer is talking to God? Do you believe that prayer is asking God and believing that he's going to give you what you asked for? Well, here in Mark chapter 4, that's exactly what the disciples did. They were scared, so they talked to God and said, don't you care? Help us. Do something. And Jesus answered their prayer. He got up. He silenced the storm. We think maturity is receiving the answers to our prayers. Isn't it Funny how Jesus has a different perspective of maturity. Think about it. They asked, and they received their answer. And Jesus rebuked them. You said, ask, and we shall receive. Why did Jesus rebuke them? Because Jesus knew. Jesus knew that the disciples knew they had it in them. They possessed the inside of them already. He knew that they were able to silence the storm. But when we say, but Jesus, I don't know what to do. Oh, Jesus, we need you. You need you to come. We don't know how to do it. We think that's humility. And some seasons, yes, it is. But in certain seasons when God is calling us to grow up, that's not humility. That's giving up our responsibility. You have to overcome in order for you to get the kingdom authority in you. Without the storm and without you living it out, without you overcoming it by your faith, without overcoming it, you don't get it in you. You hear me? Benjamin, he talks about it all the time. He had migraine headaches first like 19 years of his life where he, I mean, the way he, I've never had it that bad, so I don't understand it. But like he was saying like it's like hammering, the light hurts, and he would have to stay in the dark room for hours and, you know, no medicine will help. But then one day, God healed him. Now he has faith for migraine headaches. What is an internal reality? What you overcome deepens you. Remember Benjamin said 2 weeks ago that God took him into deep pain, but he took the pain out and left him in the deep. You want to be deep? We can't get to deepness without the pain. We need the storms in our lives. You hear me? Do you hear me? Amen. You can only give what you possess. Your internal reality is released when you live it out and you overcome it in victory. Your private battles, you overcoming your private battles, okay? It creates this inner world of victory. And as you create that, it shapes the outer world. Your internal reality becomes outer reality. You know, past few weeks, I'm not going to lie, I've been through some crazy storm, okay? I mean, you remember before Indonesia trip, I fell, not because I was preaching the gospel, right? I was in my own living room, and I fell without anybody pushing me. I was by myself, and I fell on my butt, and I dislocated my tailbone. You don't know the pain until you either break or dislocate your tailbone. There's no position. Left, right. Nothing is comfortable. Nothing relieves the pain. And then 2 days later, I had to go to Indonesia. And then I had to go to Hibala, which is further away from Nias, further away from Telo. I knew I had to be on a very uncomfortable boat for hours and hours with a dislocated tailbone. But when I prayed, I feel like God was saying, go. And, you know, the morning of, I packed, and Benjamin's walking me out. I'm not kidding. Tears in his eyes. Jason's my witness. He was in the car. He was crying and holding on to me. I don't want you to go. Benjamin, I got to go. I can't send the team to Hibala without me. I have to go. I'm going to be okay. But you're in pain. And then he started texting all the team members, take care of my wife, help my wife. Man, that was hard. That was painful. And when we, when like, and the spiritual battle was so bad that when we got to the first island, like, I mean, next to Jesus, next to the presence of God, I love food. I like food. I can't say love because I'm not willing to die for it, right? First night, I skipped dinner and I sent the team without me to go eat dinner because I was in so much pain. Man, I was in the midst of the storm. God, I gave up food. You don't know. You don't know what that means. And then when they came back and I was sleeping and Sharon's, like the whole night I was fighting the devil. I was casting the demons out of these people and it was hard. I couldn't do it fast enough and I'm just like fighting the devil hands and feet in my dream. And Sharon was saying the whole night I was praying in tongues, right? That was hard. And I got to the third island, right, before Hibala, and I had to do the first revival in this village. And guess what? I had to go on a motorcycle. Remember, my tailbone is dislocated. Remember, it hurts to sit in a cushion. I had to sit on a motorcycle, and it's the village. So there's no cement. It's rocky. You got to go up and down. And the whole ride there, I was praying in tongues. I was crying out for mercy. I wish I could say God had mercy on me and I had no pain. But every bump, I felt the pain. It was hard, guys. But you know what? As I preached, the famous witch doctor who was over 100 years old came to the altar and I got to lead her to Jesus. That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And you know, now that I think about it, Amy, I think we needed that inner victory. I needed to encounter that witch doctor. That witch doctor was so famous in those villages. Because so many people have died through her curses. Nobody would come near her. You hear me? But she came. And I think the demons knew. God knew what was about to happen. That's why I went through so much. I think the enemy wanted me to not go. And I had a right reason to not go. But we still went. And Daniel, he couldn't come because his passport expired and he did not know. And you know what? It was probably God. You know why? Because if he would have came, I would have sent him to Hibala. I would have stayed behind. But God knew. God knew. And because we overcame the power of witchcraft in Telo, we were able to go to Hibala. You see, we told you about you go look at our videos of Telo. You're going to see people just manifesting demons. I mean, Audrey knows. She's like, no more deliverance, Pastor, please, no more. Because she was my interpreter when we first went. Everybody, like, I could send them away, but Audrey, you kind of have to stay with me because you're going to have to intercede for deliverances, right? So she had to stay and over again. But you know what? Even if it took an hour or two, we were able to set them free in Telo Island. But the reason why God gave us that victory over powers of witchcraft in Telo was very kingdom. It was like so divine because the Hibala Island, it's another level of witchcraft, guys. When I tried, they manifest. I'm like, oh, I've seen that before. So, you know, if you took School of World Mission, you know exactly what we do. We stop the demons from manifesting. But it took longer to make them stop. I mean, it was a battle. But in Telo or Nias, we were able to stop the manifestation. We were able to set them free. But in Hibala, like 95% of the time, we couldn't set them free. You know why? We command them to stop manifesting, and then they fall asleep. And we're like, wake up. No matter how much we try to wake them up, they're like, we like lift them. We like talk to them, you know, throw water at them. Nothing would wake them. They go to sleep for hours. And we couldn't set them free, except the real desperate ones. Afterwards, when we went to sleep, they brought them and they sat and waited next to our door. Those we were able to set free. But most of them we weren't. The Telo victory. But in order for me to really possess that victory in Telo, I had to overcome in my inner world. I could, but I'm in pain, God. How am I going to set people free? How am I going to be your instrument to heal others when I myself is in pain and I don't know how to receive healing for my own physical pain? But even in the midst of when God refrained himself from healing me, I still had to get up and believe. I still had to get up and walk. I still had to get up, get on the plane and get on the boat and get to Telo so that I could possess the victory over the witchcraft so that God could send our house to Hibala. And what happened? Over 800 souls received Jesus. 800. That is 10% of population of Hibala. There are 8,000 people. And that weekend, 800 people received Jesus. That's why when you feel alone in your private storms and struggles, God, I don't have it in me. I just don't see it in me. I wish I was stronger than this. I wish I knew. I wish I had more wisdom than God. I wish I could, but I don't know how. When you are in the midst of your inner private struggle, you have to understand that God is qualifying you for the next level breakthrough. Your transformation of your mind will affect and shape the world around you. You know why Israelites wandered around the wilderness for 40 years? The scripture says it's because they wandered in their hearts and their minds first. Some of you, you've been struggling about certain things inwardly. You have to believe that it's not just about you. You understand? It's not because something's wrong with you. It's not because God had lifted his favor from you. It's not because A, B, C, D, E. It's because God knows you already possess what it takes to overcome. And as you overcome inwardly, you're going to release kingdom outwardly. So many of us, when we don't know what to do, we give in to shame. I'm not going to lie. I give in to shame a lot. You give in to frustration. You give in to hopelessness. You give in to despair, anger. You give in to accepting the lack. You give up the potential you know that's inside of you. We just give up. And you know, I've been so bombarded with that temptation to just accept. I was talking to Daniel the other day, and every time God puts you in a transition of maturity, he really takes away that old grace. He takes away the things that you were able to do easily. You know, the things that worked doesn't work anymore, right? The things that, oh, this is my strength, like you don't find it anymore. You're not, it's like you feel empty. And then you know what I realized? That I've been feeling that. I've been feeling the things that came so easily for 20 years doesn't come so easily anymore. It's not so fun and exciting anymore. It's not this glorious anymore. It's not, did I lose passion? I think a lot of people say, well, I lost passion for that. Well, yeah, I need to step down. Well, you change your outer situation according to your inner world. But that's not how we're supposed to live. When you, I mean, all of us have done that. Oh, pastor, I'm struggling, so I need to step down. You know what you're doing? You're changing the outer world to fit. But in the kingdom of God, it's supposed to be the other way around. Your inner world is supposed to shape your outer world. You hear me? God is saying, Living Hope, it's time to grow up. There are certain things in our lives that God is saying, you don't have to always look to your mommy and daddy. You could do it on your own. So how do we do this? You know, in Isaiah 1:17, it says, learn to do good. Look at your neighbor and say, learn to do good. God is saying, sons and daughters of God, learn to do good. Okay? Learn. Sometimes I tell Alethea, you know what? You know what growing up means? You want to be a big girl? Then you got to learn how to do hard things. It's so hard. You can do it. And when you try to do what is hard, that means you are growing up. But it's so hard. You don't know what's going on in my life. Exactly. It's supposed to be hard. And when it's hard, the Bible says, learn to do good. In your situation, me doing good may be different from what you're supposed to do, right? Because we are in different journey and different situation. But one thing is that God is saying, learn to do good. And you learn to do good by learning to do hard things. I don't feel like doing my devotion today. Well, learn to do good. I don't feel like praying today because I don't feel anything. And if I don't feel anything, well, is it doing anything anyway? You just give up. You're not being real. You are giving up your responsibility. You're giving up on growing up. Ephesians 3, it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. Everybody say, ask and think. Now to him who is intensely able according to the power that is working in you. Your inner, what is in you? That the power that is working in you is able to accomplish. You hear me? Your inner world becomes your outer world. Your private victory qualifies you for public victory. But how do we stop the storm, God? I don't know how to stop the storm. How do we learn to do good? How do I walk in faith? How do I walk in the Spirit, God? How? So simple. And the Bible tells us to renew your mind daily. Everybody say, renew your mind. Allowing the Holy Spirit to renew our mind daily. This is what Bill Johnson said. Transform mind is supernaturally empowered. Transform mind is to see reality in God's perspective. And this is what he said about prayer. Prayer is where two hearts engage and the strong one always wins in its transforming ability. If you go in depressed and come out depressed, then it is not prayer. It is just complaining. You hear me? Renewing your mind, it's supernatural. But you can't receive supernatural renewing if you don't engage the one. I'm depressed. You go in, engage in God. You cannot, if you truly engage God, you cannot come out depressed. Because it says the stronger one always wins. If you come out depressed, according to Bill Johnson, it's because you have not engaged him. You just spent some 30, 40 minutes just complaining. I was in Hawaii, okay? And I was telling people this. I think God is so funny, okay? Because in my relationship with Benjamin, there are certain things that's like my right as a wife. And he let it, right? So, for example, heavy things I never have to carry. We go grocery shopping, and I tried for many years to help him bring the groceries. And he said, no, just go in and rest. And he goes back and forth, bringing in the groceries. Now, once he brings it, I have to put it in, right? And so heavy things, I don't have to carry. Another thing, I never have to drive. My husband knows I hate driving, number one, and he gets sick if he doesn't drive. So it works out well. See, he knows us, right? He loves us. I never had to drive. I never had to carry. And there are certain things. Food, okay? I mean, I could cook, but if I want in and out, you all heard this, right? He would go get it. So if we are going somewhere or doing something, he would go and bring it to us. So he would ask, you want to go together or you want me to go buy and bring it? So he asked both Benjamin, Aletheia and I that all the time. And so if we feel like going, we want to go with you, then we go. If we feel lazy, you go get it, Daddy, then he'll go get it. So these are things that we take for granted. Now, this whole thing, what did it go through? Vertigo thing. He couldn't carry anything. He couldn't drive. So before Hawaii and during the Hawaii, I had to carry everything back and forth. I had to drive. You know I hate driving. I had to drive him everywhere. And I was kind of laughing at myself. Laughing at God, you're so funny. You're making me pay back all these years of just receiving. But I remember during this time, I was bombarded with anxiety. I mean, for Benjamin, like, I knew God was going to, you know, do what he needed to do, right? And I didn't, like, I believed that God was going to, in his time, heal him. But for some reason, during these times, like 6 weeks, I was bombarded with anxiety. Like, I feel like, you know, people who love me, I got to use the right person so they don't get hurt. Like, I know Chinwe loves me. But then, like, all of a sudden, I would get this thought, she's mad at you, she's hurt by you. That didn't really happen, but, and I'd be like, what I do? Oh man. And then anxiety fills my heart and fills my mind. And then, oh, and then about the church, you should have done this. Now your leaders are gonna think you're not a good leader and they're not gonna want to follow you anymore. Oh no, anxiety fills. Oh, you should have done this. Oh, you're not good enough. I was getting bombarded with these thoughts, and I was living in anxiety. I'm supposed to, like, lay out in the sun and enjoy, but I'm getting all this anxiety. I'm like, everything's falling apart, and no, right? And I was like, Benjamin, you can't die. Because, I mean, if I die, like, you're okay, but if you die, everything falls apart, you know? Like, you can't die, Benjamin's like, oh, but, oh, like, all these stupid anxieties, right? These thoughts. Like, for, like, different seasons. You know how he talked about, like Psalm 27? And then he had to, like, get himself out? I had to do that. Seriously. Like, when, like, the enemy just surrounded my mind, it felt like all of you abandoned me. It felt like none of you respected me. It felt like nobody cares. No, I am not good enough. I have nothing good enough for people. Like, I was feeling all these things. And then usually, I could just overcome it by, oh, they love me. I could just shift, and I could just, you know, I could just, you know, text a few people, oh, just say good things about me, to me, and they, oh, we love you. I'm like, oh, yeah, see? Usually, I could overcome it. But this time, I couldn't. Even when people were like posting things and saying nice things, Chinwe is like, go get a massage. It's too expensive. It's so... 1 hour foot massage. No, not even. 40 minutes foot massage was $75 to $100. I was like, I cannot pay that much money. You know? Chinwe is like, no, I love you. I do it for you. Right? She doesn't talk like that. But she's like, you know, like people were loving on me. You know what I mean? Like people were loving on me. Even when people were saying good things, I still feel like people don't love me. I just bombarded. And I was like, God, how do I overcome this? And you know what God said? Sonny, you feel like you're helpless, hopeless victim to these thoughts. But you're not. You're not. Guard your peace. It was kind of a loving rebuke. You could wash your hair, Sonny. Put the shampoo in your hand. Rub it in your head. God was kind of doing that to me. Guard your peace. You're not a victim. You're not weak. You're not helpless. Say to those thoughts, get out. And I'm like, okay, I got to guard my peace. I got to guard my peace. Oh, I got to go. And then all these thoughts, I don't know how to guard my peace right now, God. How do I guard my peace? And you know what God told me? I think I'm saying this because I think some of you need to hear this. I feel like God was saying, do you know how to guard the peace of Jesus Christ that surpasses all understanding? Do you know how? You know what God said? Confidence. Sonny, my daughter, be confident.
I don't know. I have nothing. I'm ugly. I have no power. I have nothing to worth to give.
Be confident. And this is what God said. When you're insecure as a leader, you create unsafe atmosphere for your people.
You don't love me anymore. Oh, you don't want to follow me anymore.
They're not even thinking that. And when you're insecure all by yourself, we're all spiritual beings. Because even if I don't say, Amy, you don't love me anymore, even if I don't say it because she's a spiritual being, she senses something. And it's an unsafe atmosphere that I, the leader, have created for my people. And God is saying, Sonny, they're not even intentionally trying to reject you. But your insecurity is like creating this atmosphere. But when a leader is confident, Amy could be intentionally mad at me and intentionally rejecting me, right? She could be intentionally not responding to my text to show me that she's mad, even when she's intentional about hurting me. When I'm confident, she's just going through something. I know Amy loves me. And when I walk in that confidence, it creates the safe place for Amy to deal with her issues. No problem. And I feel like God is saying, Sonny, be confident. And you know what else he told me? He said, confidence isn't something you build or you develop through process. There are certain things that you have to go through development. But I feel like God was saying, as my child, confidence isn't something that you develop. Confidence is something that you just take. The only way you're not walking in confidence is you let it go. And I feel like God showed me this picture. Sonny, in your mind, draw a circle. So I drew a circle. That's the confidence that's yours. Now stand. Okay. Now, throughout the day, when you find yourself away from that confidence, don't think you have to go through something to develop it and make. No, just simply go back. Simply take it up again. You know how to guard your peace? Confidence. Living Hope, sons and daughters of Living Hope, including me and Benjamin and Alethea, all of us, it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to discern what are the things that we're supposed to wait to hear the voice of God that's saying, this battle is not yours. Those, we should wait. But unless God told you that, you better get up and take responsibilities. Unless God said, wait, and watch what I'm going to do, you better get up. You know how you do it? How did Jesus silence the storm? Be quiet. He used declaration. Why? Because he possessed that peace. You know why he was able to silence the storm? Because he possessed inside of him the peace of God. God is saying, Living Hope, you have my peace. I've given it to you. Now stand in your place of confidence. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. Guard your marriage. Guard your family. Guard your faith. Guard your destiny through your declaration by standing in the place of confidence. Come on, worship team, come up. You can do it. Tell your neighbor, you can do it. You possess what it takes to walk in confidence. Declare with me. I want you to stand up today.